Hello and welcome along to what is something of a bonus podcast for you, the 42 members. We're looking ahead to the start of the Republic of Ireland's qualification campaign for the 2022 World Cup. It begins tomorrow, Wednesday, away to Serbia, and that game will be followed on Saturday by the visit of Luxembourg to the Aviva Stadium. To look ahead to the games, I'm joined by the 42's own Gavin Cooney. Gavin, how are you?
How are you, Dals?
Good, thank you, good. And also with us is a man whose work you've probably read on the 42 as well. He's a versatile operator who could pop up anywhere, really. Basically, football journalism's version of John O'Shea. Dave Snead, how are you?
Hello, that's a very nice intro. Thanks very much.
I must say, lads, it's quite reassuring to see that I'm not the only one who's suffering amid the ongoing closure of the barbers. I make an effort to keep myself presentable, but you know, you can't polish a turd at the end of the day.
Well, my inability to grow any kind of facial hair has saved me from looking like an absolute scruff.
Yeah, it eventually pays off. Anyway, so yeah, lads, as I mentioned, we're talking about the games against Serbia and Luxembourg. Ireland do also have a friendly against Qatar in Hungary next Tuesday, and we will be giving that utterly pointless and unnecessary game the coverage it deserves on this podcast by completely ignoring it. Gav, we've gone 4 months without international games. We've got a new manager who favours an attractive brand of football. We've got some promising young players. We've got a chance to qualify for a World Cup. Surely we're all full of excitement and optimism for what's ahead over the next few days.
I thought you were going to follow that up, Dals, by ending on, but we have no hope. I don't really feel that we have no hope, but no, like, it's hard to get too enthused about things when you're coming in off the back of an historically bad goalless run that's still not over. Like, we're at 7 games now, 660 minutes if you add in the 30 minutes in Slovakia. So, and it's just the general vibe that, you know, our third season this group, we probably don't have a chance of making top spot ahead of Portugal. So we're scrapping with Serbia for second spot. But it's hard to talk yourself into the notion that we might finish ahead of Serbia in this group. But I mean, I know we'd like to kind of, it's quite hard to gauge the mood in the camp when the camp is in Belgrade and everyone else is in Dublin and we're following it behind a laptop screen. But I guess the main positive, Dals, is the fact that there were no positives in the COVID results, that it's all negative. So hopefully the injuries, there will be no COVID cases throughout the rest of the camp, and the injuries that Kenny has suffered, he has already suffered, and things won't be exacerbated any further.
Yeah, fingers crossed that remains the case. Dave, I've seen you kicking a ball around with your young lad on Instagram lately. The question is, has he got a passport yet? And if so, can he get to Belgrade by tomorrow night? Because Stephen Kenny is a bit short on personnel.
Fairness, he's got a good touch. His communication skills aren't great. He's only 2. But that might let him down, yeah. I don't know. You mentioned, I'm not pulling you up on this, Dals, but I'm going to make the point that the Qatar game, I think, is only pointless because of where it is in the schedule. It would actually, if Ireland had managed to get, I think it's okay to say we, seeing as everyone knows we're all Irish, but like, if that game had been forced, it could have actually been very useful. But the fact that it's not, yeah, I think it is pointless, and it's just everything is geared up. You can't not look to the Luxembourg game, where everything is geared towards obviously Serbia, but this is where you kind of play into it, like, because you're battling it out with Serbia for pretty much for second spot. Do you go into it and say, well, do you know what, like, just try and not maybe pick your strongest team, look at some of the injuries that are there and lads who might not be quite ready for that game but could really do a job against Luxembourg at home, like thinking of someone like Aaron Connolly or whatever. So it's just gonna, if everything that Kenny has said so far is that he's not gonna kind of like give up some of his principles, I suppose, and be a bit pragmatic, but you kind of wonder, can you play a bit of a long game with this, or do you just need to try and go hell for leather in this game and try and get off to a positive start? Because if they do, it could actually just reinvigorate a kind of international setup that at the moment is struggling.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point on the Luxembourg game, and we'll maybe get into that one a little bit more later on. Before we discuss how Ireland might line up tomorrow night, lads, let's just take a look at the opposition first, Gav. Serbia, they're under new management. Some familiar names in the squad, but some notable absentees as well.
Yeah, Dragan Stojkovic, who played for Yugoslavia back in the day and scored twice against Spain, I think it was, in the last 16 of Italia 90 for Yugoslavia. He's a new manager now. He last managed in the Chinese Super League. and he was appointed only at the start of this month. So he's in, he has, much like Stephen Kenny, sought to infuse the squad with youth. So a few recognisable names are out, like Alexander Kolarov is gone, Luka Milivojevic, the Crystal Palace midfielder who's keeping James McCarthy on the bench, he's out as well. Nemanja Matic has retired, the Man United midfielder. The only actual Premier League player in this squad is Alexander Mitrovic, but there is there's plenty of youth and plenty of excitement in that Serbia team. Like, they should, in theory, be coming into their own now because they won the Under-20 World Cup 6 years ago now. So a few members of that team are in this squad. You'll probably know Marko Grujic is on loan from Liverpool to Porto. He's in this squad, as is Sergej Milinkovic-Savic of Lazio, and a couple of other exciting players. Like, this team, Dolls, like this squad, should have lots of goals in them, unfortunately for us. Luka Jovic is there. He's left Real Madrid to go back on loan to Eintracht Frankfurt, and he's found some more confidence and has found the net as a result. As we said, Mitrovic is in there, and also Dusan Vlahovic, who's at Fiorentina and is only young. I think he might be only 20 years of age, but is beginning to tear up Serie A. He scored a hat-trick for Fiorentina a couple of weeks ago. So it's a youthful Serbia side. We don't really know how they'll set up because Stojkovic is only just in the door. He's talked a lot about playing football that will take your breath away, and there isn't a recognition that he has to play attacking football. So they switched really between a 3-4-3 and a 4-4-2 in the last campaign under their now departed manager. Stephen Kenny doesn't really know how Stojkovic is going to set up, and maybe it's not that intriguing, but they do have their own version of the Doherty-Coleman conundrum, but theirs is much more interesting because Stojkovic was asked by the local press ahead of this game whether Milinkovic-Savic and Dusan Tadic, who we'll know from Ajax, once of Southampton, whether they can play in the same team. Stojkovic said that they can, but both have to produce more for Serbia. So, like, on paper, it's a fairly daunting task for Ireland, where I draw some positives is the fact that they're just starting under this new manager. So, like, getting them away from home, some of their players were playing on Monday night, so they'll only just be gathering. So the fact that Stojkovic hasn't had much time to work with them might be to our benefit. Also, like, their campaign is very front-loaded. They've, like everyone else in the group, got 8 qualifying games, but 3 of them are in this window. They play Portugal, and I think they're playing Azerbaijan as well this window. So, you know, they actually need to hit the ground running even faster than Ireland do. So maybe there's some optimism there. But certainly on paper, they're a much stronger side than Ireland.
Yeah, the game is being played at the Red Star Stadium in Belgrade, which has a bit of a reputation as one of the more intimidating venues in world football. So the fact that the game is being played behind closed doors is probably a good thing for Ireland. Dave, what are your thoughts on Ireland's prospects here?
Well, the point Gav makes there as well is a very important one. The fact that obviously the new manager who's come in, who's got a great nickname, Pixie, I'm going to just refer to him as Pixie, but why I think it's interesting is because he's come in and very much like how when Stephen Kenny came in talking about maybe wanting, not rebranding the team, but kind of having a bit more confidence, because kind of going down a bit of a rabbit hole of Serbian football news and reading about them and listening to them, it does seem as if a lot of Serbian players maybe produce a lot better for their club than when they meet up with their country. Listen, that's understandable considering the nature of international football. And it does tend to be a case of, it's kind of a very much a Jekyll and Hyde type scenario whereby they can be absolutely great, like they were in the Euro playoff against Norway. Looked really impressive. And like, even that game, like Milinkovic-Savic coming off the bench to score. And then in the next game against Scotland, when Scotland beat them on penalties, but then during the course of the game, Scotland completely outplayed them. Yeah, there's been changes. And then you look through the squad that's there, like there are some quality on paper, any quality attacking players in the different systems, and the fact that you just don't know what they're going to produce. Like, they don't even know what they're going to produce, so it is difficult. The only thing that seems certain in terms of just over the last couple of days of listening to Stephen Kenny and to the players, it does seem, as of course, like, in terms of the 10th play with 3 at the back with wing backs, and they're expecting like lots of crosses into the box. It was one of the points of Stephen Kenny's press conference this afternoon when he spoke about Mark Travers and why Mark Travers was not why he was picked, but one of the reasons was his height, the fact that he's 6'4", the fact that he expects plenty of crosses coming into the box. Now, is that off the basis of what's come before? Because you can't judge on how Pixie's going to have this this Serbia team like set up. But one of the points that he has made is that he wants, like he said it himself, he just can't imagine Ireland being better than Serbia. He wants Serbia playing on the front foot, which is what Stephen Kenny wants. And Stephen Kenny, again, has reiterated that point in his press conferences, well, firstly naming the squad and again today, where, yeah, obviously there's going to be times where you have to defend, and that phrase now, the low block and all the rest of it, but he wants Ireland to try and be on the front foot as much as possible. And that's now what Serbia have, or well, they kind of how they're kind of go at it, because in the past, from listening to commentators in Serbian football, it tends to be a case of maybe they get into decent situations and then put the handbrake on a little bit. Some of the players they have, it's actually an interesting point too, like the players in like France, Italy, Holland, Spain and Germany, like whether or not Mitrovic even plays as a focal point in the attack, it remains to be seen. But like it's I think they're getting away. Always would I hit, I remember when Ireland played Serbia a couple of campaigns ago now, and you're talking about it kind of like the Serbian like dogs of war. You just had these battle hardened old professionals who kind of would grizzle out results, whereas now it does seem to be they have a lot more about them technically, and sometimes that can bring inconsistency, I suppose. And that's what in this first game, that's what Ireland
are going to have to hopefully prey on, because which you look at the Ireland squad now and the depth of talent that's there, it's going to be a struggle no matter who Ireland are playing against. Games are going to just be a struggle in this campaign, and the stadium being empty, that could be a good or a bad thing. You're not going to have thousands of Serbian fans putting loads of pressure on their team, because traditionally they would. You might have a situation where the Serbian players can maybe be a bit more relaxed and play into whatever system that they're trying to go for without that pressure. So it's kind of, it remains to be seen, I think, how it's gonna impact on the game. You just look at what's happened with the Ireland setup and the players who are Ireland are now going to be missing, and that's the bigger concern, is how the Irish players react.
Yeah, and just to jump in there, Dals, like I mean, one of you would have hoped, because you know Serbia are under have a new manager and we don't really know how they're going to set up, you would have hoped that one of the advantages that Ireland would take into it is the fact that Kenny's been working with the squad since last autumn. But given the amount of injuries that we've carried into this campaign and the COVID cases and all the disruption that was that Kenny had to deal with in the last campaign, or sorry, in the autumn, we don't really have that. Like we're not bringing a whole lot of cohesion in, and unfortunately we're kind of really bringing in baggage as much as anything else with this long goalless run and the fact that we haven't won a game under Kenny yet in 8 games, and the fact that there are doubters out there already, and it puts Kenny, I think he's under a bit of pressure, if not ahead of this game, definitely ahead of Luxembourg, regardless of how this game in Serbia goes.
So let's go through the Ireland team and what it might look like against Serbia. The absence of Darren Randolph and Caoimhín Kelleher has left Stephen Kenny with three very inexperienced goalkeepers. Mark Travers and Kieran O'Hara have been capped at senior level, but Travers hasn't played since his loan at Swindon was cut short 6 weeks ago. O'Hara is the oldest of the three keepers at 24, but he was dropped when Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank took over at Burton Albion at the start of January. Gavin Bazunu is the one who's playing every week at Rochdale. But at the age of 19, Gav, it would be a bold move for Kenny to put him in, but the Ireland manager has actually already revealed that, as Dave mentioned earlier, that it will be Travers who will start.
Yeah, just great to see Gavin finally make the squad after I obviously let things down back in my day. But Mark Travers is going to start. Kenny isn't giving his team away, but in fairness, he has been upfront about the fact that Travers is next in line after Kelleher and said so last week. So I think that's as much a kind of a confidence booster for Travers and get him in the right frame of mind, because I think it's a benefit to know to have a hierarchy with goalkeepers there. How will he do? I mean, we don't really know. Obviously, it's a bit of a worry, the fact that this is such a high pressure game for the manager and for the squad, and he'll be starting with a goalkeeper who's never played a competitive senior international yet. But what I would say to Travers' benefit is that, you know, he made his Bournemouth debut kind of out of nowhere in a big televised game against Tottenham a couple of seasons ago, and he was really, really good. The frustration is that he hasn't played lately. I know Kenny was hoping that he might play for Bournemouth in the FA Cup game against Southampton at the weekend, but that sadly didn't come to pass. He was playing well at Swindon and then was recalled to Bournemouth to cover an injury for Asmir Begovic, but Begovic is fit again, you know, and got fit before Travers even got to play once. So it's a bit of a worry. Seamus Coleman was asked about it at the press conference today and naturally said that no concerns about Travers or Bisounou or whoever does play, but it'll certainly be Travers tomorrow night.
Yeah, and moving on to defence, Dave, John Egan is obviously a big loss, and Shane Duffy has had a really tough time of it at Celtic. He hasn't had any game time for nearly 6 weeks now, I think. I mean, what are we expecting the back four to look like, if it is indeed a back four?
Yeah, well, that's Shane Duffy. Like, I think Shane Duffy, that is the question. Stephen Kenny said it today, kind of, he's being dissected. And it has been a horrible time for him. We go back a year, like, in terms of, obviously, the move to Celtic has just been an absolute disaster for him. But then, like, obviously from a personal point of view, the fact that he lost his father, dealing with that during the lockdown, moving clubs, dealing with the grief, like, it's just been, for him it's been a terrible time. And considering, like, how much he has been so important for Ireland, like, it's such a shame to see what's happened to him over the last while. You would hope that it's not one of these things where he just can't recover from it. Sometimes it can happen with players' career where sometimes they just get a knock and it's hard to recover from. I think with Shane Duffy, he's already been through so much in his career that I don't see that happen. I do see him kind of return at the level that he's been at previously. I would be surprised if he doesn't play. I think, like, if you look at the defence there and the fact that John Egan is out, who Stephen Kenny has obviously spoken about, his importance in helping to build attacks, just having that focal point in the defence, and even though he has been through a rough time of it, he just still has got that experience at the back. And the fact that it's already been pinpointed that they're expecting plenty of crosses into the box, and they're expecting a bit of a physical challenge in there too. Like, the lad there, Vlahovic at Fiorentina, like, he has got a bit about him, and whether or not you can actually just drop a player who still is a very, 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 he is an international player for level player, and he has done the business for Ireland. Like, it's the bigger concern you would suggest, as you mentioned there, is the fact that he actually hasn't played that many games. He's just played behind closed doors game against Kilmarnock recently. He hasn't played since the middle of February. Like, that's a bigger concern of Anton in terms of how his sharpness is. But like Seamus Coleman talked about in his own press conference about how he's a warrior and he's a leader, and I just don't see him not playing. I think Kieran Clarke coming back in is a big, not well, it's a surprise in the sense of he seemed totally out of the picture, but then injuries in his own form for Newcastle coming in now, I think that could go either way. Like, that could, with Kieran Clarke in the past, like, there's times where he has been really impressive and has been solid and has actually played a few passes out the back, which is actually quite strange to see, but he can do it. Or, like, I know it's a tough game to kind of talk about again, but that Belgium game in the Euros, I still have visions of him just being torn to absolute shreds, like that whole Irish back four was. And if you're expecting a bit more of a flamboyant attacking kind of Serbian team, could he be kind of targeted again? But Duffy and Clarke as a partnership, if it is a four, which I think it will be, I think Kenny, he hasn't really deviated from that. I don't think it would be a bit of a surprise if he did. Now, of course, he could, in terms of you could bring Seamus Coleman in alongside him. I know he's done it a couple of times for Everton and playing that back and make it a three with having wing backs with Doherty and Enda Stevens either side. But if it was to be a two, I do think it would be Duffy and Clarke, just that bit of experience. Obviously, if Darragh O'Shea was in there, he looked impressive on his debut. It's been a struggle for everyone at West Brom in the Premier League, but no one's kind of pointing fingers at him. I think he seems to have had a solid enough season, but I haven't got any kind of, unfortunately, inside info on it at the moment in terms of what's happening. But just from listening to Stephen Kenny so far and gut instinct on it, I would say it will be a kind of a back two there with Duffy and Clarke and Stevens on the left, and I would say Seamus Coleman will come in at right back.
Gav, Conor Hourihan, James McCarthy, Harry Art or Jack Byrne, they're all unavailable. Are we getting any sense of how Ireland might line up in the middle?
It'll probably be something along a 4-2-3-1, I think, wouldn't it, Dave? I mean, the back three thing, Kenny has always said he's not against it, but hasn't had a whole lot of time to practice it. So I don't think we'll see anything like that before the Qatar friendly, at least, or else in the summer friendlies that we have to play. So who's in there? I mean, we have lots of midfield options, in fairness. We don't have much of a hierarchy. I think it's all kind of a much of a muchness. I think Josh Cullen has possibly played himself into contention for a start because he's doing well at Anderlecht. He's not really had much of a chance under Kenny yet, but I've always been quite impressed by him when he has come on. His positional play is quite good, and his passing is actually quite good. He usually passes it, zips it forward in a way that a lot of our midfielders don't. So I think he might start. I think Jeff Hendrick will probably get the nod for his experience and his physicality as much as anything else. And I definitely think Alan Bryan will be fit into the equation somewhere, possibly as a number 10, purely because he's one of our few players who will gamble beyond the ball. And like, I know these are a sign of how limited our ambitions are at the moment, but he will take a shot, you know? I mean, he is likely to shoot. We saw that in Slovakia. So I think they're in there. Jason Knight is probably in contention as well because he's been a regular player in Derby and is doing really well and impressed, I thought, in the home game against Bulgaria, certainly in the second half when Ireland kicked into gear. Other than that, I mean, Hourihan was probably a nailed-on starter on form, but he's out. What other options are there? Not much. I mean, Robbie Brady might be accommodated either side. I know Kenny really sees him as a number 10 in that position where he would consider Jack Byrne and Alan Bryan option. So maybe he'll contend there. Jason Malumbi hasn't really been playing at Preston, unfortunately. So I think that's probably taken him out of the equation as well. So I'm still trying to fiddle around with my kind of predicted team for the preview piece in the morning. But at the moment, I have Josh Cullen, Jeff Hendrick and Alan Bryan.
It was an interesting one, sorry, on that. But even the fact that Kenny kind of pointed, he made remarks to the fact that like Josh Cullen's passing seems to have improved, that he kind of spoke about that he seems to be playing a lot more forward passes. And if you look at the fact that obviously Hourihan and James McCarthy aren't gonna be there, because Kenny always references, and he's only gonna be able to do it for so long, but he always references the Slovakia game in terms of that performance. And if you're looking for that off the template, obviously it was Hourihan and James McCarthy were the kind of two in there. And he wants those passes, he wants fellas breaking the lines, he wants people being a bit more adventurous and getting on the ball. I think Cullen has, even again from reading reports and also just from kind of reading between the lines of how Kenny has spoken about him, I think as Gav says, he's played his way in there. Just who's going to be in there, if it's going to be a two, who'll be in there alongside him, because like obviously Hendrick could drop back, but then Hendrick has kind of looked actually a bit more impressive in the centre of a three a bit further on. I think he's better receiving the ball there rather than off the back four. So it's just, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think that will actually, that midfield, like Jason Knight has got so much energy, but again, he can play all over the place as well. You know, he can play as a sitter. I've seen him play for Derby, make his debut, and he did kind of just sit and kept it neat and tidy. So he can do that, but then he also has that energy about him, and so does Cullen. He actually has almost strikes me as a bit of a kind of almost like a lighter version of Harry Winks, which is like a featherweight, but like he actually has got a bit about him when you see him. Remember, was it Bulgaria? He played in the Aviva, and he actually was quite impressive. He got around the pitch a little bit, so it's gonna be, Ireland can't lose that midfield. If they get overrun and get bossed about in that midfield, then it could be messy. It could be really messy. So they're going to need legs in there, and they're going to need bodies, and not just legs, but fellas who, when they do get it, can get on and maybe drive forward. And even Malumbi, I agree with you. I don't think Kenny spoke, I don't think he was too positive about him, but even Malumbi has that about him too. I think he's almost like the sort of character who you could throw him in and he would actually he'll just go for it. He's like a little attack dog, isn't he? He just rattles around the place, but he has that bit of bite and a bit of quality about him too. It's just whether or not it's a bit of a step up considering where he's at the moment in his club career.
You could make a case for any of the midfielders to start, really. Thing, yeah. Like, I mean, there is depth there, but I mean, obviously having depth is a great thing, but I think you still kind of would like a hierarchy of options and depth.
You would have
picks.
A Declan Rice, wouldn't it?
Stop.
Maybe a Jack Grealish even, I don't know.
We have to stop sending these guys to West Ham. I'm kind of worried about Odi Becko now as well. But let's not go there. There's probably enough to focus on for tomorrow night.
Gav, as you mentioned at the top, goals have been scarce lately for Ireland, to say the least. Dave, none scored in our last seven games. Who's going to get the nod in the front three, do you reckon?
Again, it's a toy. I'm kind of using Slovakia as a template purely because it seems to be what Stephen Kenny is doing, and it's the closest way of trying to get into his mind of it. If you go back to that front three, it was Callum Robinson, it was Jeff Hendrick, and it was James McLean. But then McLean was only in there because of the whole situation with Aaron Connolly and with the false positive, wasn't it? With that test, I think that was a late one. So he kind of, what's it, the phrase he used, that McLean and Connolly were both undercooked, but that McLean was in great nick. If you look at Connolly, he kind of has that look about him. I think what Brian Kerr said about Shaqiri, he's like a barreler. And I think that's what kind of Connolly has, that bit of a vibe about him. I think he could be the type of player who needs a couple of games to get up to fitness. So my gut instinct on it would be, I think it'll be Callum Robinson, because again, he was name checked out of nothing. He wasn't really brought up, but in today's press conference, but Stephen Kenny did. He brought him up just in terms of the energy he brings and stuff, and that's been a team. So I think it will be Callum Robinson. I think it'll be Jeff Hendrick in there, and I think it'll be McLean as well, because McLean's, for want of a better word, just a bit of cop on about him. Like, he has got that defensive instinct, but then at the same time, even though he'll do your head in with some of the stuff he'll do by giving the ball away and maybe not really making the right decisions, he's just so fit, and you can't underestimate that in terms of just the energy he'll bring and having that defensive nous to kind of cover certain moments in the game when Serbia are going to be on the attack, because they will. Like, he can drop back more so than Connolly would, but then he can maybe provide a bit of a threat. It's not huge, and I know he scored a couple of goals in the Latin campaign before last, obviously, like Austria stands out, Moldova, obviously the Welsh game. So my gut instinct would be that maybe it'll be McLean there. And above that, I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe you might mix it up with Connolly. You could throw Connolly in, or maybe a James Collins, or even Shane Long. It's what he decides on in terms of, does he want that focal point? Does he want that kind of type of a Dave McGoldrick type player who can get it and link it and hold it up and just relieve a bit of pressure by playing smart? And if it is, then you would imagine someone like Collins might fit that bill in terms of hold up. Connolly is a more, if you're kind of getting in there on the channels or getting in the sides of the back three, the three centre halves, that's where you would see him having a greater impact. And it could even just be a case of a half an hour off the bench and then maybe saving him for Luxembourg. I don't think anyone would kind of be too upset if that was the case, because like, he hasn't played for a while. So that would be my gut instinct would be the three would be Robinson, Hendrick, a goal, James McLean, and I would not be surprised if it's James Collins up top by himself.
Yeah, but like, this uncertainty, like, this is the nightmare. After those 3 months of having to work together, we still don't know. Like, I actually think the template Kenny always reaches for is the Slovakia game, and not without reason, but like, we're missing five players at least from that team, you know, but through injury, and then obviously McGoldrick has retired. I actually think the best... We looked at our best when McGoldrick was playing and linking up with Alan Brown. The best alternative to McGoldrick in terms of style of player is actually Parrott. I think he's quite a smart player, and he can drop off like that. But I think he lacks a bit of physicality at the moment. And Kenny said he won't start, so I don't think he's an option here. Also, Dave, I'm kind of interested that Doherty's not in your team at all. I think that I have a hunch that, you see, we're all going on hunches really at the moment. Like, there's no info really out yet, and there's no template we can reach for given how disruptive the squad is. So I have a hunch that Doherty might play on the right, and I think maybe he'll start Connolly in the left, and I think he'll start either Shane Long or Collins. I think he'll start up front as a kind of a focal point. But as I said, it is fairly hard to predict.
Yeah, because I'm kind of going with Doherty, I just think he seemed to get back into the Spurs team, and then he had a mirror in our last in the Europa League game and was totally bombed out for the Villa match, and he hasn't really been in great form at all really for Spurs. And I'm going off the basis that maybe it's a 4-2-3-1 and with that formation, and he did, I think he can play in different positions. Maybe like he's, I know as a wing back, he kind of can get up the pitch and he could play in a tree on that right side. I just, yeah, it's again, you're right. It is. We're still going off kind of hunches a little bit now at this point. I suppose like it's a shame we just kind of all trying to like creep into the stadium tonight and just get an idea. I'm sure there'll be a few Serbians doing the same, but I don't think Doherty really has done enough this season to kind of, but then again, like look at that team. Like, you can't, as a player who's not playing well for Spurs, does that mean he can't be getting into the Ireland team? Otherwise, you're going to just have like Callum Robinson, who's barely kicked the ball for West Brom over the last few months. So, and then you like other than that, it's just like Aaron Connolly again. He's not had a great season. There's so many players here who just aren't having good seasons or are in the Championship, and it's. This is where we're at. Like, you know, we're talking about picking the team, but and Stephen Kenny has spoken about again wanting to be on the front foot. But I think you also have to have an element of actually wanting to have to try and contain a team that could come flying out with the blocks with that new manager bounce. Like Ireland never really had that bounce. It's been pretty flat, unfortunately, hasn't it? But even, you know what, I'll be honest with you. You pulled me on it there about Matt Doherty had totally gone out of my head. Like he had totally gone out, and I was even just thinking, you know what, you just need. It's almost like, I think Shane Duffy almost needs a bit of a comfort blanket alongside him with someone like Seamus Coleman. I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean someone who he knows, who he's played with, who I think they understand each other's games. Like, I don't think there'd be too much messing there in terms of wondering where he is or what's happening. I think sometimes, no matter how big a personality or the player, sometimes when you see your mate beside you and someone who's been there with you, it just makes you feel a little bit safer. It just makes you feel a little bit better about yourself. And I think Doherty wouldn't give that to a defence at the moment. Like, he's obviously a very good player, but going into playing away to Serbia, I think you need someone like a Seamus Coleman, that attitude. And the season he's had too, he's done well for Everton. Like, they obviously had some sticky patches too, but he is playing well. It's not as if you're just picking him because of what he's done over the last few years. He's actually in a decent bit of form while he's coming back from an injury and all. But I just think for what the Ireland team needs, like Seamus Coleman, I just don't think you can't not play him just for what he gives you. And
I agree with you. I think he might squeeze them both in, but sure, we'll find out an hour and a half before kickoff in Belgrade tomorrow night.
Yeah, lads, just to touch on the Luxembourg game on Saturday as well. On paper, it should be one of our easiest games of the campaign, but in reality, it probably won't be very easy at all, Dave. What do we know about them?
I'm going to actually notice, this is actually so strange, but I'm actually looking forward to seeing how they get on against Qatar. Never thought I'd say I'd be looking forward to seeing how Luxembourg and Qatar match goes, but that really is, because, like, be honest, other than you do a bit of reading and you get a sense of, yeah, they've got like a up and coming players, and there's like lads there over the last couple of years who have come through together, like, and they seem to have a bit of a camaraderie about them, and this all seems real bland, but it's the truth. Like, I've literally looking through clips of them, and they've got some neat and tidy like players, but want to see what they do against Qatar and how they play, because you would imagine that they will pretty much set up against Qatar and want to get as close to their shape and as close to their lineup as to what they will do against Ireland, and that because it's like it just seems obvious that that's what they're gonna do. So if it was on pay per view, I'd actually shell out if it was like $7.99 or something for that. I'd actually would, because I'm actually just very interested to see how they get on, because you see in some of their games, like they can score goals, they can concede them too, and like, I don't know. Like, I think they could be a bit of a bogey for Ireland, because Ireland are going to have this big game in Serbia, and coming back from it, and depending on how it goes, like they'll have a bit of confidence. They're expecting to get a decent result against Qatar, or at least, I don't know, have a bit more understanding of how they're playing. We're talking there about hunches with the Ireland team, and we're talking about, well, who's gonna play. I think Luxembourg do seem to have a bit of solidity about them in terms of that selection. So, like, you always, I know it sounds kind of real kind of arrogant to say it when we're Ireland, we have no right to be. You should always expect to beat Luxembourg at home, but just the way the fixtures have fallen, it could be a bit of a tricky one, you know, especially because of how Ireland's form is at the moment. if Ireland play well and actually look to have a, find a bit of balance and find, because sometimes that can happen. Sometimes you can find a team that maybe you might not have imagined, and sometimes it can click just through a bit of adversity. And if that happens, well, then that'd be a huge confidence boost. But then, like, if Ireland are hockeyed or have a, just a bit of a disaster and just it doesn't click at all, well, then, like, you can only imagine where the confidence is going to be, and that, like, a team like Luxembourg might come and just and prey on that, you know, which is horrible to say, but it's, you can't rule it out.
Sure. I mean, in a perfect world, Gav, Stephen Kenny would be given almost a free hit for this campaign, to give him time to bed in these young players and the new approach. And regardless of the outcome, we'd then be, you know, ready to storm to a glorious victory at the Euros in 2024. But as we saw from some of the reaction to the results in the Nations League, that's very unlikely to be the case. Rightly or wrongly, there's a bit of pressure to be in the mix for qualification there.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. And Kenny is kind of aware of that. He was asked about this last week. Is like, do you see this campaign primarily as blooding young players as opposed to qualifying, which is a question implicit in the which implies that we don't have a chance of qualifying. Like, I was listening to Norway tease out the moral argument of whether to boycott the World Cup or not. But maybe you can have those moral arguments if you have Erling Haaland up front. We haven't decided to talk about boycotting the thing yet. Yeah, like, there will be pressure if he doesn't qualify regardless. You know, there's been a lot of pressure. I actually think he's got some quite a lot of unfair criticism over the autumn. I think there has been some quite unfair stuff written that hasn't factored in the context of what he was dealing with. But maybe let's not get into that. But it just, I bring it up just to show that there will be a lot of pressure on him if he doesn't qualify. So I know this sounds an incredibly bleak thing to say, but I don't expect us to qualify. So I think for Kenny, like, the ambition for Ireland manager should always be qualify for the European Championships. Like, that should be the bar, because what, 24 teams go, we should be striving to be among the top half of teams in Europe. So I think, as bleak as this sentence sounds, I think this campaign is about failing in as positive a way as possible to justify him keeping the job for the Euros, because sadly I think Portugal are way too good for us. And I think there's too many question marks over us as regards Serbia. Like, we'll learn a lot now tomorrow night, but just on paper, they're going to find it so much easier to score goals. And I think international football, with such little time to prepare these days in three-game windows, which I think devalues international football, actually. I think they should stick it to two, but however, emergency times, etc., etc. But gives us very little time to bed in anything. So then it comes down to the individual quality you have. And in spite of Stephen Kenny's best efforts to meld this Irish squad into something better than the sum of its parts, so I think the individual parts Serbia will have on display tomorrow night will be too much for us. So I'm not too positive, Dolls, I have to say, unfortunately.
Certainly sounds that way. Just briefly, Dave, you reported quite extensively at the time on the rather farcical Videogate saga, and we're all aware of the consequences of the whole thing. Is there any sense of the fallout still lingering there, or has that all been put to bed now?
No, I don't think so. Like, I think, like, Seamus Coleman was asked about it today, and he did broach it. I know that'll come out in the papers tomorrow. Can't really say too much about it, but that will kind of make it clear of where things are at. I think I said it before. If Ireland have a disastrous World Cup campaign, it'll kind of be used as a starting point for maybe the decline or whatever. It'll kind of be used as a reference point then. If Ireland can do well, it'll be forgotten. Obviously, they brought in Anthony Barty, has a bit of pedigree, obviously, at Chelsea. Thomas Tuchel has spoken very positively about him. They brought in Dean Coyley, who, and then we're going to Crystal Palace's training ground just to do a piece with Dean Coyley about six months or so before lockdown. And he's a very straightforward character. There's absolutely no bullshit there with him. He is the sort of fella who gives instruction. I remember I got a chance to watch Palace train, and other than the fact that Roy Hodgson actually pretty much took all of the session and was like properly interrupting fellas during the middle of it and walking fellas through stuff and going through stuff with Wilfred Zaha, which is pretty interesting to see. Like, Coyley was there in the sideline too, and he's not just one of them who'll go off and kind of, some goalkeeping coaches maybe have no input whatsoever. He can have a bit of an input. I know Stephen Kenny wants maybe his goalkeeping coach just to do that with the goalkeepers, just think part of the reason why maybe Alan Kelly is no longer around. But yeah, no, Dean Coyle is like he's got a good pedigree in terms of coaching too. And well, yeah, if you I think it's forgotten about now. And from the player's point of view, it's always been really a non-issue. It's obviously like it's something that's been played out more so with the media, and it'll only be a case of how the campaign goes, how it can be referred to, because if Ireland do well, and if, as Gav so very brilliantly put it, if he failed gloriously, I think it will be. I don't think it'll be used as a stick to beat him with. But then if things maybe do deteriorate, which fingers crossed they don't, because everyone wants to see Ireland do well, well then it can be used as a stick. But I think for the time being, I don't think it should be something that is referenced. And I suppose if Ireland starts scoring a lot of goals from set pieces, which is what Anthony Barry's modus operandi seems to be, well then I think it'll be a blessing in disguise. Shane Duffy score twice tomorrow.
And just before we finish up, Gav, on the possibility of qualification, if Ireland do actually get to the World Cup, and I know you're not very optimistic about that, but it would be our first in 20 years. We've missed the last four tournaments, obviously, and it would be massive financially. Has there been any indication as to how much pressure that would actually lift from the FAI?
Don't know. Like, the FAI don't budget for qualification for major tournaments, and aren't they right to do? But like, I mean, I would be, if we qualified for World Cup, I think we might get a sponsor. I'd be quite optimistic that that would bring in a sponsor for the national team. Like, we still don't have one. Like, we're playing three games, two World Cup qualifiers this March, and with no sponsor on the front of the shirts, it's kind of remarkable. But in terms of like baseline figures, I don't know, but it would be pretty welcome. I'm not sure if it's a case of the FAI saying putting Kenny under pressure to say you have to qualify here, because you know we need you to bail us out. I think the FAI have been sufficiently bailed out by the three of us on this call and everyone else who pays tax in the country for that. So I don't know the figures. Look, it'd be a massive boost, but in fairness, the FAI don't budget for it. And in terms of it becoming an issue or becoming an instrument with which they can put pressure on Kenny, they haven't given any indication as to that yet.
Yeah. Dave, Gav has made it quite clear that he's not massively confident about tomorrow night or the campaign in general. Do you share those feelings? Are you a bit more optimistic?
I'm always optimistic up until the match starts. Like, I go into every single Ireland game thinking, oh, this could be the game. This could be going, whether it's walking to Lansdowne or if you're going to abroad or whatever. You always think this could be the game where they'll put it together, they'll do something. And you're always hopeful, always optimistic, but then you kind of, I just don't know, like there has been so much upheaval and some of the injuries and the players are in and the form certain players are in, it's hard to see. The best case scenario is obviously you win the game, but I just think I can't see it being kind of a game where you kind of see how Kenny wants to play. I can't see that coming through properly. I think it's going to have to be a game where you're going to grind something out, maybe just because of the nature of it. But then you look at what's happening with Serbia and the fact that their manager was only appointed this month, and there's a bit of pressure on them how they'll react. So that's what I'm hoping on. I'm hoping that maybe Serbia feel the heat a small bit or a bit of pressure, because their manager has been bigging them up. So listen, take a nil all draw right now, like, to be honest. So yeah, like that's how confident I would be. I actually am looking forward to the game. I really am. I'm just dreading it at the same time.
Look, I mean, it'd be great to see things click for this Irish team like they did, like, for the rugby team against England last weekend. I mean, there's not massively dissimilar scenarios, but I mean, we can only kind of go off based off what's happened and what we've seen and what we know. And it's not trending very well at the moment. But look, I'd be absolutely thrilled to be wrong. I mean, trust me, I would love to be sitting in Qatar next winter being proved resolutely wrong.
Absolutely, yeah. Lads, great stuff. We're going to leave it there for now. Remember, it's Serbia versus Ireland on Wednesday night, and on Saturday, it's Ireland against Luxembourg. Both games kick off at 7:45 p.m. They're live on RTE2, and you will, of course, find extensive coverage on the 42 as well. Gavin Cooney and David Snaid, thank you both for sharing your knowledge and wisdom, and thank you as well to our members for listening. Enjoy the games this week, and we'll speak to you again soon.